And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget also that if you just got in the car and you like missed the first segment, or if you're driving to dinner and you've got to get out of the car, that you can listen to the whole show on our website by going to www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and all of our archive shows are there, and you can see the pictures of us hanging out in the studio, and you can download the MP3, you can send it to your friends, so you can do that as well. So we are now going to turn to the other artist we have with us this evening, Natasha. Natasha Vasquez, welcome back to the Blank Canvas.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I know, right? I can't believe the year ended.
It went so
already.
Fast.
It went so fast.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's really, my head's still spinning. But so you put some works in the show, and it was really surprising because I know you as a painter, mm-hmm. and your work is really about the paint a lot of the time, and the drips, yeah. and the colors, and then Holly was putting the show together, and I sort of saw your name on the list, and I was like, oh great. And then I walked through the gallery, and I was like, what?
Totally different. I had the same reaction.
So tell us a little bit. So you have these really beautiful cyanotypes,
yeah.
which are sort of a form of photographic print in yeah. a way, but it's not a photograph like you would. It's anyway. So why don't you explain about the process, and also, so, and it's also about plants, which I didn't have you paired to be on the show, and then I was like, oh my god, you're both.
Yeah,
but it also, a lot of artists were. That, I mean, it is part to do with the call. I mean, the call was the fruit and the seed, but it was yeah. also supposed to be metaphorical. So what do we reap from
right.
what we sow?
Yeah.
What does history bring us? What are the fruits today that are the result of history? But there's a lot of plant stuff and stuff. So tell us a little bit about the piece, the title, like why you chose what you did, and the process.
So I was really excited because it was my first NE ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so excited to participate and to put together a proposal. And so when I went to the first forum at the NAGB with Holly, and she was discussing, you know, the title of the show and a little bit about it, I thought, you know what, I want to try and break away from my usual practice, something that I've been, you know, dealing with for the past 3 or 4 years now that's stayed pretty consistent, which is, like you said, painting and a lot of color and vibrant shapes and this. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to completely come out of my comfort zone and try something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know where to start. I was like, okay, where do I even begin? And I thought, let me just start with my daily routine. Like, what is it that I'm doing every day? And I had a lot of self-reflection, and I realized that I spend a lot of my day with artists because, mm-hmm. you know, I work at The Current, and I'm, you know, constantly interacting with the artist residents. And at the time, I had Kendra Furup in the studio, who was amazing and inspiring.
So now that you're two fangirls, actually
two
three,
fangirls.
In fact three, because I'm a total fangirl. Listen, I think Kendra is amazing.
She is. So we spent a lot of time together. We were designing a series of classes that she was going to teach at The Current, and mm-hmm. I was assisting her with those. And so the first thing she asked the class on the first class was, I want you guys to just start collecting things, like collect things around the house, try and see if there's anything that can inspire you for your work. And so I kind of took advantage of this free lesson that I had with Kendra. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go for a little mission too and see what I can find. And so I started driving that same afternoon. I went out in the car and I found myself in the southwest region of Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled upon a field of fill that was covering an old mangrove site.
No.
And a lot of the mangroves were dug up, and they were just kind of like laying on the side.
No.
And I thought,
who did that?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was very saddened. But then I started looking at the plants, and I thought, wow, these are so interesting. They were all kind of dug up, and you could see the roots. They were all intertwined mm-hmm. with one another and really beautiful. So I started collecting them.
I just have to do my meditation. I'm like ready to like, I got to yeah. calm myself down. That makes me so hot.
Right. And so in my anger and sadness, I thought, you know what? I need to recontextualize the way in which I see these plants dying. And I started talking to Kendra, and I said, I want to use these and create a series of prints or something. And so we went as far as, you know, we got a steamroller, and we thought we'd ink them up and print them on paper. And there were so many failed attempts, and I was getting frustrated. And I thought, you know what, this just isn't working, and this is the nature of experimental mm-hmm. work, right? You don't know if it's going to work. But that posed a little bit of an issue because I had a deadline, right? And Holly had an expectation, and there were all these failed attempts. And so I started researching and learning more about cyanotype printmaking, which became very interesting for me because I learned of Anna Atkins, who was actually the first person to create a, you know, the first published book with illustrations using this cyanotype printmaking technique. And she was also archiving botanicals. And so she created a few different volumes called British Algae.
British Algae, okay. Yeah.
British Algae. And she utilized...
Well, there's a topic I never thought I'd hear about.
And so it was really interesting because she was using this form of printmaking to create, you know, an archive, a record of these botanicals. And I thought, you know what? Someone needs to do that quickly with these mangroves as well because they're disappearing. And so I began experimenting with this technique, which really is very challenging. A lot of it has to do with, you know, mixing these two chemicals that go together and then you paint them on your piece of paper in pitch black so you can't see where you're painting, which was a challenge.
Oh, you have to do it in a darkened room?
You have to do it in a pitch black room. Once you've painted the papers, you leave them overnight to dry completely. They have to be completely dry. And then once they're dry, you have to kind of stumble in there and try to find them on the floor in the dark, roll them up, put them in a garbage bag that's completely dark so that they're not exposed to the light, and then take them out in the sun, unroll them, and quickly put your objects on top, which in my case were mangrove plants, dead mangrove plants. And they stay out in the sun for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then you take the mangroves off, or whatever object you're using off, and you put them in water.
Right.
And they turn this beautiful, rich blue color.
Yeah, which actually is, of course, a color that we associate also with our own landscape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the series was called Blue Carbon, which is also ironic because blue carbon is actually what they call the carbon that is absorbed by the mangrove tree. So a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, our environment, the plants, they absorb excess carbon.
Yeah.
But mangroves also do the same. And they actually account for a lot of the carbon that gets released into the air. And so as we destroy these plants, we have less help in that field.
Yeah, well, and so it's actually really bad for our breathing because carbon is really bad for us to breathe in.
Exactly, so, and it's also, I mean, mangroves are incredibly important for...
Oh, for everything, for everything, for the ecosystem. That's so interesting. So, I mean, so when you paint it in, so because when I was looking at them too, I thought, oh, well, that kind of makes sense that she found that particular, because there's still you still have to paint something, right? I was like, because you can sort of see the brushwork on the paper,
right?
And so obviously you were there in the dark, like you can still see on the edges, like where your brush was kind of
Couldn't see anything though, and that to me was quite exciting. I mean, in my own painting, when I know too much about the painting, how it's going to become, I'm bored of it.
Yeah.
So the fact that I had no idea what I was even doing at the time because I couldn't see literally was really exciting.
That is, how did anyone ever come up with that process? I mean, that is just, can you imagine the first people using that? Like, oh, I've got this great idea. I'm going to paint in the dark. And then, like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was invented by Sir John Herschel in 1840 or something. So it's quite an old technique.
Yeah. And so the paper is still white, though, because what you're left with, so people that come, it's hard to really describe. So in fact, the plant itself, which leaves its imprint on the paper, is white.
Yes.
And all the background is blue.
It's
so
blue.
It's not that the plant gets drawn in the color. The plant actually protects the paper somehow from the light. So it's a negative. It's really
negative.
It's a bit like what were they called? Those ones that Man Ray did? The solar... Yeah, anyway. You know, where he put objects on photographic paper and then you come out with this kind
blueprint.
Of... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Solarizations and things like that. Yeah, it's like it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was really fun to do, and it was also a great way to get out of your usual practice because you get so into it. You know, I'm always telling the artist residents, you're in this space together, like take advantage of that. Get inspired by the person next to you. You might be next to an artist who does a completely different kind of art. And then I realized in thinking about this, Annie, and I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm telling everyone to do that, but I'm still going home after work and sitting in my studio by myself and painting my own thing.
Right.
And I thought, I need to really get out of that. And this show really kind of it forced me to do that. So
well, I'm really excited to hear that because I think one of the things that's great about the NE, about the museum in general, but also specifically about the NE, is that it's kind of gives artists the ability to experiment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, like people often, the public, and sometimes don't understand that we're not a selling gallery, but we're really just a museum and to educate and to show people. And I think it means that it sort of takes that pressure off. Like if you're not you know, you're not doing like a solo show where you have to sell stuff, you can really be free to experiment.
Totally. Totally.
And so I think it's really very, it's really great to hear that that's what you did, and that, you know, the ability to be part of that show and to be part of the NE, like, allowed you that freedom and that kind of push.
Absolutely.
To just try something. And I mean, yours is, it's also interesting because yours is called NE, you know, Your Island Experiment. So
I love NE in the sense that it's like, it's a departure from what I might be working on in the studio. Mm-hmm. And a chance for me to really just do something I never thought about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is my first sound piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So actually, what made you do that?
I mean, you get the muse. He tapped you on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, yours is a he. I like that. I like that.
Says, yeah, yeah. He or she says, listen, you want to do this? This is what it really, what you would do. And I always think about my work when it's being exhibited home as like me sending home little messages.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, little notes or...
In a bottle.
Yeah. I really do. Yeah. I really view all the pieces that is exhibited here that way. And mm-hmm. so... it just kind of made sense mm-hmm. that it comes through voice. And mm-hmm. I have been thinking about voice for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just manifested.
Yeah.
So.
And I think a lot of the artwork in this show was surprising and brave. Like, very brave. And there were a lot of artists who, like, I know very well, like Sydney Colby, who is a designer. And she had this beautiful painting mm-hmm. and two paintings. And so it was just interesting to see how people...
Yeah.
You know, thought about their practice and kind of surprised everyone.
And sort of took the challenge to just,
exactly.
Yeah. Was part of that the call? The call itself? To kind of push you to, or to try to find a language to express something that...
I think there was a question. I mean, Holly, there were like 9 or 10 questions that I read through millions of times. And there was one on there that said, like, how is it that you contribute to the community?
And I
saw that as like, how is it that I'm kind of interacting with my art community and mm-hmm. changing mm-hmm. or in the way in which I think mm-hmm. about my own practice mm-hmm. as opposed to really like making work in a bubble, which obviously you don't do anyway, theoretically, but like you literally are alone in your studio a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And so I really, for my work, I really wanted to push the boundary and be a part of a community and really mm-hmm. think about how that might change the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. What about you, Anina? What did you get out of the call when you read it?
I don't think I so much thought about... I can't remember the questions in the call.
Yeah.
But I do know...
But you took the fruit and the seed quite literally.
I mean, that's where we started.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, you know, what does that even mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but how can I layer that meaning?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, these coconuts, again, have been traveling with
me. With you for years.
For years. And it's funny because when I started thinking about them even more, it was like, oh, I'm going back to that coconut again. Which is like, it's not like I have a bunch of work with coconuts. It's just it being around as like a reminder of home. Yeah. It just pops in seemingly at the appropriate time. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but it's so funny because it's so non- fibrous and non-organic, your work. Like, you talk about, like, because I sort of have this joke, I'm like, oh, everyone in the rest of the world, I say I'm in the Bahamas, they think we just make coconut art. And by that, I mean, like, literally taking
coconut.
So, and I think, in a way, like, a lot of the world thinks that. They're like, oh, yeah, they're down there making, like, straw and coconut work. But you use these objects, but you make these extraordinarily contemporary works.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's part of it. To me, is I'm trying to layer the meaning mm-hmm. of these symbols.
Right. Exactly.
And so, by using the symbol itself, to mm-hmm. me, that's like, that's how you get you. That's
yeah,
my
exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
I know what that is. Gotcha.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now,
yeah.
what am I really saying?
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
What am I really saying?
Exactly.
With the piece.
Yeah. Amazing. Anyway, we're going to go to another short break, and then we'll come back and talk some more with Anina Major and Natasha Vasquez, who are two of the 35 artists in the National Exhibition, many of whom do happen to be women. It's interesting, although we do have a lot of men artists as well, so don't worry, guys. We're not trying to take over or anything. So come and see. It's a really interesting show. It's called The Fruit and the Seed, and it asked artists to really just, again, think about history and what grows out of really what you sow. And like Natasha said, you know, relationships and all kinds of things. So what you're doing in your artistic practice that might affect or be able to change the community for the better. So I think it's a really interesting show because there's a lot of sort of work that deals with social issues that need to be spoken about too. So we're going to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.